Welcome, bienvenue to the Fantasy Tools Podcast. This is a show where fantasy tools discuss fantasy tools. I'm your host, Derek Rentz, and I'm joined by my co-host, Michael Peterson. Our mission is to discuss fantasy baseball and the tools that we're developing that help us manage our teams. Cue that intro music.
So we're 20, most teams have played 21, 22 games into the season. Mm-hmm. What is your most surprising team?
That's got to be Kansas City.
You think Kansas City? They're kind of middle-ish. I mean, they're middle upper.
13-9 is like
13-9. That's coming in at number 8 overall.
Yeah, is that would you have thought that was a top third team?
I think, I mean, Kansas City, we talked about this when we talked about the Vinny Pasquantino thing, right? Which was, they've kind of been sitting on a bunch of pieces that, if these pieces all hit simultaneously, this would be a good team. And enough of their pieces are hitting now that we're seeing that they could be an okay team. I mean, Brady Singer is, like, good, right?
I like Brady. I like Brady Singer. I think that they have a decent bullpen right now.
Yep.
The other starters aren't terrible either. I mean, and the hitting wise, last year there was always like a Kansas City Royal that it would like pop up in the analysis and be like,
yeah.
Well, I don't want, there's, yeah, it's the only one right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of these things is not like, it would be one player would be doing well. And you're like, well, it's not really valuable to add that guy. I mean, unless it's TGFBI, then it's like, okay, fine. You twist my arm. I don't have anyone else.
They needed multiple guys to put it together at once, right? They had those guys that it was like, ooh, this guy's hot right now. But they needed, like, if Hansel? They had three guys who were hot right now, maybe they'd be. I guess, I mean, I'm just looking at this. Part of the reason that my expectations are slightly tempered is that Cincinnati Reds are the team right next to the Royals, right? But why aren't we excited about them?
They're supposed to do this. The Cincinnati, I mean, we took the under last year on the Kansas City line.
Good point.
And it was like 70 wins. So that they're on pace for 90 is a huge improvement.
Yeah.
Whereas the Reds sort of did this last year. The Reds did that last year, but they had a lot more like pedigree. And there was a lot more like, well, there were a lot more pundits saying like, oh, the Reds could, you know, bring up all these guys and do pretty well. So that they're doing it again is great. No sophomore slump.
Well, yeah. Okay. All right. So to you that's less remarkable. The pure turnaround for the Royals is more remarkable. I will buy that. I mean, I think in general a bunch of these turnarounds, like the Tigers aren't horrible. I mean, that also feels surprising to me.
Oh well, I mean, I think that they were another sexy pick this year to be in the mix.
Well, people love Skubal, right? I mean, Skubal was going so high in drafts.
Yeah.
But there has to be some regression to the mean. I mean, there's teams that I don't expect to be anywhere near this bad, like Seattle. Well, not, I mean, bad. Like Seattle's 11-11, and Julio Rodriguez is personally stabbing me right now in fantasy leagues. These are teams that, like, the Royals and the Reds, I feel like, are going to have to make room for the Blue Jays and the Mariners above them in the standings. It's just...
Yeah. No, I mean, the Red Sox, they're destined for 500. So, like, let everyone play around them however they want to. Red Sox will be 500. That Nationals team is fun. It's, like, all quadruple A players.
I mean, we've discussed that before, too.
There's a couple of players where it's like, what? You're still in the league?
I know. That's another one that's like, that's another one that's going to regress negatively. Is that who's Jesse Winker play for? Because that's who I was surprised by. Yeah, okay. That's the one where I was like, what are you doing over here?
He's batting second.
I know. What are you doing on this team, buddy?
Yeah, it can't last. Joey Gallo is batting fifth, would expect.
There we go.
Yeah, it was, when I saw, they've got Nick Senzel, didn't realize he was still in the league. Eddie Rosario, didn't realize he was as young as he is. Joey Gallo, Jesse Winker. How many of these guys are either Michael Peterson players or Twins players.
This is my whole team. This is my team. I feel like this is my team from like 4 years ago.
Yeah. Joey Gallo. I was contemplating picking him up in TGFBI, and then it's like,
really?
Well, 9 hits, 3 of them are home runs. This sounds like Joey Gallo.
That's pretty much peak Joey Gallo performance right there.
Yeah.
So I mean, interesting stuff in the standings. I expect so much of this to normalize, so it's hard to get overly excited about this. But to be fair, run differential semi-sorted already.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it does seem that way, but I mean, that's still movement for. Well, I do have a question for you.
Okay.
Braves, Phillies, Mets.
Yeah.
Only 2 of these is going to like end the season in the like legit playoff hunt.
Yeah, okay.
Which 2 do you take?
Obviously the Braves and the Phillies.
Okay, not the Mets, yeah.
Obviously the Braves and the Phillies.
You don't want to take the Ewing theory on the Mets?
I don't. I think it's ridiculous to bet against the Braves. That's just a fool's errand. Yeah. And so then it really comes down to Phillies versus Mets. And the Phillies look like they know what they're doing right now.
Yeah, they kind of
do. So even though the Mets also...
That's starting pitching.
Yeah.
But the Mets have done pretty well in pitching too. But the Phillies starting pitching is like, oh, yeah, look at that. We have Wheeler.
Yeah, but we follow Nola. I mean, we are Bayesian analysis at heart, right? And so if you tell me, like, you tell me the priors on the Mets and the Phillies, and I'm still prior dominated right now. So the Phillies have got to have it.
So where are you in the standings in TGFBI right now?
394, man. I'm moving way up.
Ah, you cracked the top 400 out of 420.
I did crack the top 400. I am sort of irrationally prideful about that.
Nice. There you go.
What's
I'm right next to Ariel Cohen.
I will be honest. I did not actually check your number. Where are you?
222.
222. That's pretty good.
Remember how last week I said I'm just kind of middling, and you're like, we're on the other side of middling, and I was like, no, come on.
Pretty good.
Here I am.
We'll get to some explicit diagnostics here in a minute, but I think our goal today is to look at these diagnostics and figure out a little bit of what's going wrong, figure out big picture stuff. It's so early in the season that we're not at little fixed territory. We're at like, is the ship going in the right direction territory?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
yeah, yeah.
This
tweaking. Isn't like, oh, should I take this guy who's got who's going to sit on the bench 2 days this week?
Yeah.
It's like, hey, it's time to really figure out whether we're going to lean in or lean out on pitching or whatever.
Yeah. It's time to figure out if I'm going to blow my budget like early weeks or what. Because I think, you know, being around, hovering around 400 means I have to make big changes or I have to have a picture for the whole season. So let me lay out, I think to me, one thing that's really helpful, we've done this type of diagnostic before for a few years at this point, which is where do we sit in the distribution of all of TGFBI? And that gives us a handle on what maybe we should invest in more, gives us a sense of what our strategy should look like. But to me, the first thing here is what are we aiming for long term? Like, we have to figure that out. So
we got to be top 100. Come on.
I mean, sure, obviously we want to be top 100. What I mean is, what are the full season numbers that we're targeting so we have a sense of how on/off track we are?
Oh, you mean, yeah, we got to know what the number is that we're looking to get to.
Yeah, so last year, for example, we actually never talked about the season end 2023. I grabbed everything, which was good. We never talked about where we finished in this diagnostic plot. So I was just going to talk you through the distributions and sort of what we excelled at and where we could have done some work last year. So you want to start with pitching or hitting?
Hitting. Let's do some hitting.
Right, hitting. So 6 categories here. We're paying attention to 6 things. There's a little bug in the average calculation that has been rectified now, but, you know, hold tight. All right.
Yeah,
so hitting.
Yeah.
At bats, we got to get 7,000.
Ooh, that's a lot.
We need to get 7,000 at bats. In those 7,000 at bats, you should get approximately, this is meat of the distribution, which is if you're in the meat of the distribution in every one of these, I think we'd be 100-ish.
Okay.
Okay, 1,000 runs. 1,000 RBIs. then batting average of 255, sort of where you want to be. A stolen base total, ideally 150, and a home run total of 275.
Okay. So that's 255 batting average. That's not a lot.
So now I think actually let's do it this way. Let's look at where we're at this year in hitting now before we go to pitching. So you can already see that the distribution is more or less converged to 250, which is sort of early season. You know, you talk about cold weather stuff. That's more or less what you expect, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little bit under.
Like going to get a little bit better as the season goes on. We are at roughly 1,000 at-bats in TGFBI for the meat of the distribution. So seventh of the way through the season. but this is why we have to get these numbers in our heads.
Yeah.
So we can immediately be like, wow, we're already a seventh of the way through the season.
Okay. Wow. It's like 1 week. We're through Monday.
Yeah, we're through Monday of the season. I never know what to think after Monday of a week, so this is all right.
You shouldn't have any conclusions about where the week's going.
So here's why things are okay. So we're currently meat of the distribution, something like 130 runs, 130 RBIs, 250 average, looking at that, going up a little bit. Stolen bases, 20, and home runs, 30, if you're talking about the center of the distributions.
Yeah, so definitely below where we need to be on stolen bases.
Now you're looking at our lines, and you actually are doing, I would say, fine, except for stolen bases.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm
very middling right now.
Yeah, very middling. I somehow am 20% behind the mean in at-bats.
Well, yeah, do you have any players that are sitting there who are not playing? Like, I have Whit Merrifield because I added players and then I hadn't realized that, like, I have a bunch of corner infielders and, like, no, my middle infield and outfield is a little weak, which means Whit Merrifield right there.
So I have Whit Merrifield, but the problem is he's only gotten 31 at-bats.
He can't be starting right now. We'll say at the end of the year, I bet you that he's going to be extremely worth it. But right now, it's not. He hasn't made his way into the hearts of the Phillies fans, rotation, coaching.
I think I look at my team and I think across the board, everybody's 20% lower than I need them to be. It's not like I don't. It's not. So we have what, 12 spots for guys? 3, 9, 12. 14 spots for guys. So it's not like I have two dead roster spots that account for that 20% that I need to make up. It's more like everybody's under where I need them to be. For me, I think runs and RBIs are purely a function of just not getting enough at bats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, those are highly correlated, right?
And I think to some extent averages too, because the guys who have better average are the guys who play more. the guys who have better averages play more. So it kind of is some circular logic there, but I just needed to.
Well, you know who wants to buck that trend is Brendan Donovan, who's on my team, who is batting first for the Cardinals. And he, like this last week, was atrocious.
Was he?
Yes. It was Brendan so Donovan. Bad. I hadn't even realized how bad he was because it was like every day. It's like, oh, we're going to be batting first. That sounds great. Let's have him in there. So he can go 0-6 instead of 0-5.
Man, that's Brendan Donovan. That's not my favorite fantasy player. I feel like I've had a real.
Well, is he Brendan Drury or is he Brendan Donovan? I don't know.
I feel like I've had a bad relationship with both of them, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, I have. I have, definitely. Oh, man. Brady Singer. Let's get a Cy Young Brady Singer. That'd be awesome.
Cy Young Brady Singer. That would be. We both have him. So, you know, there's nothing stopping us from rooting for him.
Pitching? You want to talk about pitching here?
I think it's time
to
talk
about. Do you, though?
I don't, actually. This is, I think, we've already talked about the one category where I'm beating you this year. All right, which is home runs. Let's talk about what we were doing last year in this. So, again, season end. Here's what we're looking for. 1,300 innings pitched, roughly. So keep that in mind here. ERA, 4. Totally fine. 4 is totally fine. 1.23, 1.24 in whip, pretty good. and going to want to get 55 saves. Neither of us got anywhere close to that last year, so nice. You'd be good with 80 wins, which somehow we both got more than 80 wins last year. Congrats to us. And something like 1,300 Ks. So again, you're looking at ideally a K per inning.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm right. I was like, last week I was 3.99 ERA and 1.23 WHIP. So
like, nice. See, but that's the thing is that right, I feel like time. I feel like I have to recalibrate, because when I see a guy with a 4 ERA on the waiver wire, I'm like, nope, can't do it. But in GGFBI,
yeah, get that. Oh, guy. High 3 ERA is perfect. That's exactly what you want if you're like, hey, this guy can get me if he can do anything else. If he's on the White Sox and he doesn't K a guy an inning, then there's no point to add him because your risk is way higher than your reward. But if you're talking about, like, I don't know, Ranger Suarez is a guy that I would normally think about. I think he's very owned this year. But if you're thinking about Ranger Suarez on, like, he's on Philadelphia, it's a pretty good team. He likes to strike out guys. There you go. And then, so, hey, 4 ERA looks pretty darn good then. This year, I don't know what he... Is he going to turn into a pumpkin? What's going to happen with Ranger Suarez?
I don't know what's going to happen with Ranger Suarez. I think so. Actually, I misspoke. Actually, I am beating you in pitching categories this year. I feel, because I forgot that I don't reverse ERA and WHIP when I plot these. So let's talk about where we're at. We're currently at 160 innings pitched. So there we go. We're still at that 1/7 mark. ERA is surprisingly good in TGFBI right now. Like, the meat of the distribution, 3.5-ish. So there's regression coming here. WHIP is 1.2, so even a little bit good there, a little bit low there. Saves, we're talking 8. Very wide distribution, but you're probably okay with 8. Wins, looking for something like 12. And K is, again, following that K per 9-ish distribution, you're looking for 160. We are not doing great on pitching.
I feel like I had a bunch of stuff. This last week, I felt like it's a lot more representative of what my pitching is and should be. I made some changes. I had thought and then got Framber Valdez out of the lineup, and he was just sitting there, not doing anything for too long. And then I got rid of someone, and then I've been on the wrong side of, like, picking. I was finally on the right side of picking whether Kenta Maeda should be on the bench or active. That was very helpful. Yeah. I'm slightly optimistic about where my pitching is going to go. Because, I mean, I've got Joe Musgrove. I've got Dylan Cease. I've got Kenley Jansen. Kyle Finnegan is, like, I don't know whether that's for real. And Jordan Hicks ended up going to San Francisco. It's like... I don't know. I think a couple of weeks of this is I'm gonna be feeling good. Tristan McKenzie is facing Boston.
I think in Cleveland. I think you're in a position where you just need to stay the course. You need the distribution to kind of even up under you.
Yeah.
Because the fact that it's 3.5 ERA and 1.2 WHIP, those as per last year were not sustainable numbers.
No. It's not gonna stay that way.
So I think you just need to hold on as the regression comes to hit everybody.
Yes. Yeah. Don't go the wrong direction, in other words.
But you are low on Ks, K per 9.
Yeah, I am noticing that. I'm not into it.
Bright spot for you that we didn't mention. I mean, you have saves.
I do. Well, I don't know how long I can expect Kyle Finnegan to do this.
Why don't you expect Kyle Finnegan to do stuff?
His save rate right now is unsustainable.
Oh, I haven't looked at that.
He has 7 saves himself, and that's you shouldn't have 7 saves right now.
Like, seventh of the way through for the a season, team that's 49 like 49 saves.
What?
49 seventh of the way through the season, 49 saves. He could do it.
Right. I mean, right. So our pace is at 49. No, he should be more at like 5 would be still 30. More than
no
than it should
no,
be.
No no no. Don't have an. That's a team that is primed to clean up on saves.
For sure, but he is not the combination he's not the combination of the guy and the team and the, like, everything. So I'm worried about that regression to the mean with him.
Okay.
And then Kenley, I think, is he's doing fine. There again, another 500 team.
Yeah.
who likes to be, who makes it interesting. The bullpen makes it very interesting.
Okay, but you're, but speaking, I mean, on
he's
trajectory
at five
here,
right now.
You're talking about 12 saves. You have 12 saves. You only need 60 to feel really good. So you're ahead. I mean, you're well ahead.
I'm a little bit ahead.
On
yeah,
saves.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you have a little bit to play with there.
Yeah. It's just, it just feels like I'm not. This is like playing with exposed wires. It's like I've got the electronics. The exposed wires are out, and I'm just waiting to zap myself at some point. I should find someone who has an opportunity to get some saves on
the
side.
So you think you need to invest in? See, I'm looking at this and thinking I need to invest in starters because I have innings problems.
You should.
And you don't have innings problems, so you just need to shuffle. But you need Ks per inning.
I need some Ks. So what I would really love to get, what I would really love to get is a setup man who has like extra innings.
Yeah.
Who is cheap because he's not getting actual saves, but is like in the position to get one or two.
The Minnesota bullpen.
Which I think would. What?
Minnesota bullpen, especially when Duren comes back.
I said I want saves. I'm sorry. I said I want Ks out of them.
I think Griffin Jacks. I mean, Griffin Jacks could be droppable by guys when.
Yeah. Okay. I'll take a look at the Minnesota bullpen. I was thinking the Philadelphia bullpen would be a great place to go, and so that's why I picked up Matt Strom. And he only got one inning last week. So, fuck you.
Well, I think that Philadelphia is in an interesting situation because they had I only know this because it blew up in my face, but they have Kirkering just came back or just started the season. So he's, mm-hmm. you know, the hot young thing. So he's going to steal some probably good looks from other guys in the bullpen. Don't know if he's available. Okay. Don't know if he's available in your league, but could be a guy who
could be.
They want him to be a closer next year. So presumably at some point during the season, he'll get some looks.
Yeah. So Matt Strom, this is why I picked him up because I was like, all right, Matt Strom is going to have a pretty good chance to get like, so week three, he did three innings pitched, six Ks. Hey, that's pretty good. The week before that was 3 1/3 with three Ks. And before that was 1 1/3 with three Ks. Got a win in there. And so I'm like, okay, if I could get someone like on that caliber who's going to be like, three innings a week, five Ks a week, not meaningful ERA or WHIP contribution either direction, but every once in a while we'll get a win and a save.
That's
the kind of guy that I want.
Yeah, looking at your position in these histograms, that's exactly what you need.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's good.
I gotta find that guy.
Yours is much more fun than mine. Mine is like, go get at bats and innings pitch, stupid. Yours is like, I actually have an interesting strategy decision to make.
I've got a strategy here. I hope that Framber Valdez doesn't have... Man, Framber... I hate Framber Valdez. It's like, ooh, elbow inflammation. Garrett Cole, ooh, elbow inflammation. You know what would be great? Just be the guys that you're supposed to be when I drafted you.
Well, I feel much better after doing this dive on our GDFBI team. This feels like something we need to do at least every seventh of the season.
We should... Yeah, no, every 4 weeks?
Yeah.
Every 4 weeks, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, schedule her out.
Okay.
That means it's going to be like, what, Memorial Day?
Something super productive. I'm riding so high from coming up with figuring out what your pitching needs.
You know what sucks, though, is that we do this on a Monday.
I know.
Seven days go by. No.
Yeah, well, we'll have some sort of, I don't know, set up a GitHub job that reminds us. Hey. Go do stuff.
Well, no, I mean, it's like we're doing this workshopping and we're figuring it all out, and then things can change in the next 6 days.
Well, I'll produce these graphs on Sunday just for fun. How about that?
It would be like if we were to do like stock analysis today, and then it's like 7 days from now is when like we buy it. It's like, oh yeah, everybody figured that out. I think that about brings us to the review session. Johan Durhan. Who is this?
Durant? I mean, I want it to rhyme very badly, but I'm pretty sure it doesn't.
Johan Durhan.
First note, 6'5", 230. That's a good closer size.
It's he looks like he should be a closer. That was the one thing when he was coming up, and it was like, oh, is this guy really going to have you look at his stat line? It's not really. Oh, no.
Presence. I think, yes. Okay, so I'm filibustering here because there's no 2024 stats to talk about.
Yeah, so what is the injury on him?
A good question. Hopefully nothing bad. I own him in TGFBI. Oblique. It's an oblique. I hate those.
Yeah, well, it's worse for a hitter than it is for a pitcher. True. But yeah, it's a nagger.
Yeah.
It sucks with anybody. Any of the pitchers who didn't really get through spring training and get the ramp up right. You know, yeah. I worry yeah. about all of them.
He's going to take... He's out. I mean, he's getting ready to go out on rehab. So I think maybe this week he's out on rehab. So that actually should be pretty good for us. Well, let me just tell you what he did last year because... And why yep. he was riding pretty high. So last year, he ends up with 62 innings pitched. Wow. Great closer stuff. 84 strikeouts during that. 2.45 ERA. 1.14 whip. 3 wins. 6 losses. Could do with a few less losses, but it's Twins. What do you expect? So those
high leverage situations. Numbers. It means he's in high leverage situations.
True. Good. True. Those are closer numbers.
They very much are. You know what's also really good about him?
That he throws 102.
You could just see him like high-fiving Kirby Puckett. Like you put him in one of those M Twins jerseys. Would have fit right in.
I completely agree with that. The old school, the old school ones. Yeah. I mean this new M I'm into, but the old M.
Oh, what's the I haven't seen it.
What's the jerseys
look like this year?
It's a black.
Oh, no. I don't like it. I'm sorry.
You
I am
don't
looking
like
at it,
it
now. And I had don't like I had it. Seen it before.
I like mm-hmm. the other one, but I mean, seriously, other things that I like about him, he throws 102 miles an hour.
It's what like, a closer should do.
He throws, but wildly, that's not, I mean, he relies on that pitch, but only 45% of the time is a fastball. And then he splits the rest of the time between a curveball and a split finger. And a split finger, 98. Whoa.
I don't think that he has full control over that pitch.
No.
And this is sort of where the Kimbrel thing, where Kimbrel was like extremely effective his first couple of years. He didn't really know where that pitch was going, but I think he had a pretty good sense of like, I'm going to throw it in the center of the zone and people are going to swing at it because it's too tantalizing not to.
Well, 100, and, but then 102 at that point of the game is like.
Oh, it's really tough. But then Kimbrel lost more and more control over time and it relied more on his other pitches. So I mean that's who you're gonna end up being like with Durian.
You think so?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say that's the career that he's gonna have is gonna be like Craig Kimbrel-esque.
I was thinking I was hoping that he just kind of slows down with time and gets it a little like that he improves he
figures out some
takes
control.
A tiny bit off and moves the accuracy down. But weirdly, he pitched harder in 2023 than 2022. Like looking at his mean stats, he's throwing harder than ever.
And then he gets injured coming into the next year. Who could have seen that? That's odd.
But they used him. I mean, they used him for 67 innings in 2022, 62 innings 2023. So he's not going to get 60 innings this year. I don't know. I mean, I'm very happy that the Twins have a guy who's an actual closer.
It's nice.
Like I think that's really fun. Do I wish that he didn't have a 84 to 25 walk ratio? Yeah, definitely.
Is this the first one since Nathan, the first real closer that you've had?
I would say first guy that you could actually call a closer, yes.
Yeah.
We've had guys who closed games.
Oh,
but
yeah.
We haven't had a proper closer mix pitching. I am terrified that they're going to trade him.
He's a really likely candidate to get traded.
If the Twins
especially
do badly,
if I'm playing this year.
If the Twins do badly, he's major trade bait.
Yes, I agree. I think that he's also the kind of player that it would be like him and someone else would be like the exact package that a playoff contention team would be looking for. I like your what is the outfielder Kepler? It's like him and Kepler would be like sent, and it's like, oh, hey, we have immediately we have a backup outfielder who's okay, and we have a we have the setup man and possible closer in the in playoff games. Yeah,
yeah, I completely agree. The only thing that now I'm looking at his contract, I think the Twins would be not likely to move him because he's dirt cheap.
He is right now, right? He's yeah. Is he still in arbitration?
Arbitration eligible 2025.
Oh, it, yeah.
I mean, there. So now I'm actually thinking maybe they'll just...
Okay, so they won't. They'll trade him next year.
yeah. Good. I don't have to be worried. So he is... The official word is that he is reporting to AAA on Tuesday, tomorrow.
Okay.
Or by the time you hear this, today. So that is... That's good.
Who's getting saves right now?
Jax.
Oh, right. That's why I saw the reports he's getting dropped. He's like one of the most dropped.
Yeah, of players. Course. He's getting dropped because people are positioning themselves for Duran. Yeah, I think so. I had Brock Stewart, and I have Brock Stewart, and Brock Stewart, no saves. Not happening.
Wasn't Jack supposed to be a starter? What yeah. happened?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we have such good starters that we didn't need him. can't even get through that straight face. It's not possible. Yeah.
Okay, do you have an over-under that you want to put in front of me for this?
I think it's innings pitched would be the obvious one here. Because the question is whether he is he fully healthy? Do they slow roll him? I mean, what are the Twins?
45. What do you think? What's your gut set tell
don't,
you?
I just don't 45, know what the Twins do.
Over or under?
45? I would say over because I think 50 is the number.
You think 50 is the number?
Yeah.
Well, 49. How about 49? That we would...
I'll take over at 49.
Who are we doing next week?
We're going to talk about Jordan Romano next week.
Time for the housekeeping. Be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes and follow us on Twitter, Fantasy Tools, Mind the Z. Thank you, Mild Manor, for letting us use your tunes. Be sure to follow them on SoundCloud and Facebook. Feel free to email us with questions or comments. Send us messages at fantasy.tools@gmail.com. Again, Mind the Z. All I've got left is worst of luck to you, buddy.
Worst of luck to you, too.